now doing an interview with Henry McTeer. Henry works for Turf Valley. And we'll start off, Henry, would you like to tell us where you were born, and if you're not too bashful, when and where?
Well, I was born in Barmagyachan at Borg in 1957, 4th of September. Actually born in Creswell at Dumfries, but the home was Barmagyachan at Borg. Then we moved to Port Mary. My father worked for Muir Grierson. And then we went to Cumbria because I needed a hole in the heart operation, which was done at Shotley Bridge at Newcastle. Then we come back to Butter Hole, about 66, 67.
At Dalbeattie?
At Dalbeattie, And then my father left farming, and then we moved into the town. Then I went to, first school was Dundrennan Primary, then Brampton Primary, then Dalbeattie Primary, then Dalbeattie High School, then Kirkcudbright Academy, and then I started work at Biggers Mill at Dalbeattie in 1975.
And what was the early life like at your first school? Was it big classes?
It was just one class. And as far as I can remember, there were about 40 pupils. I don't know if you've been by Dundrennan Primary, it's just a big classroom. And there was two sweet shops in Dundrennan in those days, and a pub.
And for there, your education went on. How did you find education yourself?
Education was fine, it was just what made of it in those days, to be honest.
And whereabouts did you go for leisure time and all like that? Did you go anywhere, meet up with one of your pals or all like that?
In Dalbeattie, we did have a lot of leisure time, usually the Hawkevar, because we could get underage drinking there. Then Castle Douglas, which was the main sort of stomping ground. Then Gatehouse, Newton Stewart, all the local haunts round about.
And your early life, working life, how did you find that? Describe what your duties were there.
Well, I started off in the stock and production office, and then went into the accounts office at Biggers, which was part of RHM, Grant Covey's McDougall. And I was there from 75 until 79, when Westcumberland Farmers took over. And most of us got laid off, apart from the mill staff. So I went to college and went to university after that.
And what did you study there for? Were you always intending to stay in the agricultural side?
No, to be honest, I wasn't. But circumstances dictated, I left university, and Stanley Hart had offered me a job at Derby's because of Ken, were knowledge of Ken Bigger. He was the managing director of RHM, or Bigger, as we still called it in Dalbeattie. I went there, and that's it. I've been in agriculture ever since.
And early working life in Derby's and that, and Castle Douglas, how many staff would be working there at that time?
There would be three in the office.
That was up Cotton Street, of course.
Cotton Street, yeah. There would be eight or nine in the mill and five lorry drivers.
And did you sales at that time? You went into sales?
No, I was in the production and other things, and then Scott Cross at Owen Derby's went bankrupt, so Bibby's took over, which was part of Associated British Foods, British Sugar basically.
So it went for a family firm joined.
Scott Cross wasn't really a family firm, they were off the Finlays, the tea companies. They owned Penman's as well.
The garage.
They owned a whole lot of things. But they went bankrupt over something to do with the Far East tea, probably, I don't know. And then Bibby's were waiting on their opportunity to get into Scotland. They owned Parker's in Renfrew as well, so Bibby's took on Derby's and Parker's in Renfrew at the same time. Because they were wanting a foothold in Scotland. And I started in that office, and then beat to run the lorries. So I ended up managing the lorries, and then a lot of production with Hughie Bailey. That's how it sort of evolved.
And what was the names? You mind the names of some of the men you were working with at that time?
Yeah, Norrie Anderson, who most people all know. Hughie Bailey, Terry Pettigrew, Ted Bennett, Michael Little, more locally here, Jimmy Carson was an old lorry driver for Chris Michael, Jock Parfield Dalbeattie, Jimmy Litster for the Hawk, Jock Parker, Fiddle Beatty, Rob, and the famous Rob there.
And the
Thorburns. And Marty
Thorburn.
Uh-huh. Who we used to call Marty Boak.
Uh-huh.
Because everything was better at the Bochum. He came from BOCM in Glasgow and he says everything was better at the Bochum. and Jimmy, his son,
that
was a sort of main staff.
Aye.
We used to tuck people on in the winter in those days. For
was that because of the workload increased?
The workload, yeah.
So when did you actually move into the sales side of things? And did you get that at Bibby's or Derby's, or was that later?
Oh, that was Bibby's. Gilbert Hislop left a couple of times, so they wanted somebody to be permanent, so they offered me the job on the road.
Uh-huh.
And I said only if I didn't like it, I'd get back into transport after a month. And to be perfectly honest, I was a bit ready to get back into transport after a month, but they persuaded me to stick it out and put me on the training courses, and then I've been doing that ever since.
Aye. What do you find the biggest change in your job from that? Just before we move on to other things, is it with farms or technology?
Technology's not really changed. There's not that much really changes in farming, to be honest, especially in the beef and sheep sector. Dairies nowadays, you've got robots. The thing that I have noticed is I could probably name 50 farms that I used to go to that aren't there anymore. And that's been the biggest change.
Aye.
And I find it quite sad, a lot of the ground that they're planting now as well.
Aye.
How to put that in.
Aye. So, you moved on sales there, and how wide was your remit? What area did you cover for you? Where did you stay at that time?
Kirkcudbright, I lived in Kirkcudbright.
Right, aye. So how wide did you have to travel?
Well, initially, Bibby's had a policy of not all people are all things to all men. So you can tell some people you know you'll never get on with. It's just the way it is.
How quick does it take you to size up a customer?
Me, about 5 minutes.
right, so it's...
So Gilbert and me and Neil McLean and Dumfriesshire, we all entered Stephen Burrows, who was still alive then, we all interchanged a bit, so he swapped. So I went from basically Dunragget to Whittaturn to Ballantrae, and now I still do that even as far as Beatuck. We don't really care who goes, as long as somebody's going and does the business, you know. It's just getting back to personalities.
And did you have a favoured sector or area when you were travelling?
I prefer the beef and sheep sector. I just don't. I've got to be careful what I'm saying here, but I don't like the way dairying's going with these huge farms. I mean, I know it's the way forward, and I know that's the way it's going, but I'm glad I've seen the best of it. I think I have seen the best of it, to be honest with you.
And do you find that personalities change with the areas? You know, say Stewartry, Dumfries, do you find a different type of farmer there, harder to deal with, or more amiable, or is there much difference?
Wigtonshire, I always find, was far more laid back than any other area. I don't know why, they just don't seem to bother too much for anything over there. Once you get past Creighton, it changes. You know, I mean, everybody's fine, but there's just a... There's a laid backness in Wigtonshire that you don't get in the Stewartry or Dumfries.
Obviously, you have to be the same to everybody. Can you recall any embarrassing moments that when your younger days, when you were learning a job, that you thought that was a painful lesson, or was there anybody to keep you right days?
Bibby's were really good at training, but you did embarrass yourself a few times, you know. I'm not going to mention names, but I went in and the young farmer said, "How's your mother?" And, "Oh, she died this morning." He went, "No." I says, "Oh, I'm sorry." "Oh, it's okay, she was a hunter." But you just learn not to say too much.
Aye. And I suppose as well, there's always the collie dog. Did you get to know about bad collie dogs in various farms? Did you spread that information to your fellow colleagues, or did you just keep it to yourself?
No, he knew where they were. Still go to regular. They had in that you had to peep the horn and they had to come and tuck you in the house. And there was two chained to the wall and a farm at Balm Tray. You'd be 6 inches if you walk along the wall to get to the house. And there was one at Kirkcudbright that used to nip you in the heels when you got back into your car. It didn't bother when you got out of the car, but when you got back into the car, uh-huh. As you know yourself, you had gin here that nipped. But I've only been bitten twice.
Uh-huh.
Yince was a Jack Russell at Walton Park,
uh-huh.
And Yince was a Quali at Girvilland.
Uh-huh. Aye.
And that's because I walked through the byre and it was on a chain and I was
probably... It could reach you.
Uh-huh. And the Jack Russell was just a Jack Russell.
Aye.
But I've never really had a lot. I'm not scared for dogs. That's one thing in this job, you can't be scared for dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never out of the car.
Aye. Uh-huh. And what was your favourite type of animal to sell the feed to? Did you prefer the beef coo or a certain sheep, or did you...
Charlie's, Blackface has always been my favourite sheep.
Aye.
Because I used to work with them at the weekends with Nether Lincolns, and I've always... I love Charlie cows.
Aye.
I don't think there's anything nicer than if you see a full fur Charlie.
Aye. Now, you see, he worked at the Lincolns. Who was in there at that time?
McDougall.
Uh-huh. He used to sell Leasters, that's right, isn't it?
Yes, I used to give him a hand.
Aye, you helped them. They were sold at Castle Douglas.
Aye.
Uh-huh. Was that... Because you liked it, or did you need extra money? You were young.
I was young, but when I first got married, I rented a cottage there, and I just seemed to drift into it. You get asked to give a hand, and that's what you did.
Uh-huh, aye. It also gave you a greater understanding of the job as well.
Oh, yes, aye. It helped a bit.
The farming side of things. Mm-hmm. Aye. So when, you obviously you were at Bibby's for a few years, what was the circumstances when you moved to, did you go to Tarf Valley after that?
Bibby's sold out to Pye Bibby, which was a total disaster because Pye couldn't afford to pay Bibby's, which they were warned about, but anyway. So Cars Billington took over Pye Bibby. Now I had a chance to join a company called Newbreed, but because of pension things, I thought, no, I'll stay with Cars Billington. And always working for big companies, I've always thought about my pension. I was told when I was very young by a fellow called Bob Donnelly, always watch your pension, and I have. But when I started at Cars for selling Cars Built and Feed, mostly, it's turned into such a mess. I was dealing with people that wouldn't deal with Tarf and vice versa. And Colin Owen offered me a job, and as it transpired, they were going to be coming to some arrangement with me to transfer for Cars Built to Tarf to clear up the confusion,
mm-hmm.
You know, basically.
Aye, and when did the mill actually close in Castle Douglas, roughly?
91.
Uh-huh. Was there still a lot of employees there, a lot of local men and women worked?
Oh yes, I was still a lot.
Aye.
And then they opened the depot where Irvin's the baker, isn't it?
Uh-huh, aye. But it'd be a sad day when the mill had to close.
Yes, it was a sad day, but there was a lot of reasons. It was getting old, a lot of environmental pressure. I mean, people in Castle Douglas didn't mind, uh-huh. To be fair, but
uh-huh. Aye.
I mean, you heard the Arctics rolling down Cotton Street and queued up the street some nights if we broke down in the winter.
Uh-huh.
It was the buddy that really loved it was the woman that used to own Chris Michael Pub. She bought one of our old houses. Can you mean? What was her name? It'd be the mother-in-law of. Anyway,
Maybe I.
She was a lovely woman, but she used to say to us, I feel sorry for those poor drivers, I'd open a B&B if I could. Which is also a bit of an old pest because I thought she was going to get killed because she used to come over for jars of treacle to make her scones. And then ask the men to get an hour, including me, to lift pots of jam off her cooker. This big pot was boiling like lava. And you could hardly lift it. Was her name Nettie?
Netta.
But she used to worry me when she'd come over with her jar to get a fill of treacle, you know, and think there's one tractor. And,
And it'd be a different culture then when you started travelling as well, Henry. The laws and drink driving and that wouldn't say,
no.
Say severe. So. The social side, did that come into it quite a lot with your colleagues? And even while out on the country, you wouldn't have the same worries, did you?
No, you didn't have the same worries. The only thing that's improved, in my opinion, greatly since then, is mobile phones.
Uh-huh.
not that I'm a lover, but excuse me, I would spend a night on the stairs, on the phone when my kids were small, from 6 o'clock to 10:30 on the phone, because that's the only time farmers could get you. And if you were in a farm through the day and you got orders, you'd go and find a phone box and phone back. Whereas now, there's only two people phone me at home on the house phone, and they're elderly gentlemen who think it's cheaper to phone the house phone than phoning me back. And I know exactly who's phoning me. But that's been the best thing.
Aye. How many clients or businesses were you actively representing with your firm? Did you ever have a count up how many clients you had on your books?
Me personally?
Aye, personally, yourself.
240.
Aye.
Roughly.
Aye. That's a lot of farmers, a lot of livestock.
You see everybody every month.
No.
Again, some like big estates, you go once a year and you put your price in, that's it, done.
Aye. Originally, did you try and call in every week or every fortnight when you first started?
Every month.
Aye.
Every month.
Aye. So it's fairly similar.
Yeah.
Nude.
Yeah. No, aye. Just some of the bigger. You don't have as much to do with the bigger dairies now because a lot of it's straights and you really need specialist people to be on the on the ball with straights.
Aye.
And you can't do that if you're out in the road.
No. And of course, now you're with Tarf Valley, which is so many depots. Is there anything much has changed in your job? Are you selling more products now? Products seem to be get more technical and more of them.
Well, the big difference is that in my early day it was only animal feed. Now at Tarf you sell everything, and that's the only side that even some of my customers that know, I hate working with pipes and stuff. They ask you questions about things that I haven't got a clue about, and I think they do it just to annoy me. To be honest, it's the range of products that Tarf sells. You couldn't know everything about.
Things have moved on a piece. There's as much variety than that nowadays. And you have you taken on more customers since you went to Tarf,
or is it taken on a lot more?
And you always, self discipline, has that never been an issue? You've been more or less your own boss, are you?
You're very much your own boss, but we had good training in bibbies with time management and discipline and all that, so that's
was learned at an early day.
If you're not disciplined in this job, you'll not succeed.
And did it ever worry you, the responsibility that you carried, or did you just...
No, I don't really.
And your social side, of course. Have you been to Balmaclellan Village Hall for any functions or dances or discos or anything like that?
No, for that. Quizzes.
You know a lot of the folk for Balmaclellan anyway, did
I
you?
I knew quite a lot, yeah.
So you enjoyed the quizzes in the hall?
Yeah.
How did you find the hall, was it?
Fine, yeah.
And some of the farmers and that around Balmaclellan you'll have known for a long time as well. Is there a few that stick out in your memory?
I can always remember Alan Nat Patterson, who will be the original Old Mortality. Is he not related to that family?
He might well be.
I think he is. But it used to amaze me, even in the winter, his shirt was wide open and the big hairy chest was sticking out. And I used to think he'd freeze to death, but he was always smiling.
Aye.
And then Jim Kirkpatrick for New Galloway. Jim used to drive for Derek at New Galloway, who did most of our hauling.
Aye.
Of bags in those days. Plus I was at the school with Derek.
At the academy. That's right,
aye. And Derek from the Shermer.
So you get to know, not just on a professional level, but you get to know all of these guys as you know, friendship will build up over the years. And do you tend to carry on for a while yet with your job?
I intend to carry on, yeah. Lockdown's made me realise that staying at home's not for me. I'll be carrying on. Because it's not exactly, it's not the most physical job in the world.
No.
You know, as long as you're reasonably fit.
And did you find it easy to be tactful with some awkward customers?
No, I'm not the most tactful person in the world, you know.
How do you reconcile that with somebody that you maybe having to get the best relationship way, but you also know there could be quite a big order hanging on your misdemeanour and that. Well, you find it difficult, or as the years go by, you find it easier?
I find it easier as the years go by, but now that I'm in a senior position, I get somebody else to go. That's the easy solution.
Aye. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Henry, before we conclude this
interview? No, that's fine. No, I think that's all
right. Right, well, we'll end the interview. Thank you very much, Henry.
Oh, you're welcome.